You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge Double Agents for Hot Butt Podcast for episode 2. I am Brian Cohn. Here with me, as always, is my co-host, Alistair. Ellie, how are you?
Brian, much like the season, I feel the pressure. We're talking about how good the season is. You say, I'm here as always. I'm worried that's a jinx. I'm worried it's a jinx of the season. But I delivered. I'm here. And the challenge delivered. We got another great episode for season 36.
Yeah, I'm nervous too. I almost called the season free agents. That's how nervous I am. But we also have a guest with us tonight. We have Mari here. Mari, how are you?
Yes. Hey, guys. I'm excited. We actually, so far, are shaping up. We got a good season of the challenge. All the newbies are very lucky. So I'm glad to be here. And I just want to say, you guys will probably never remember this, but this is like a dream come true. Because back in, I think it was a few seasons ago, it was one of those slow seasons. I want to say it was like maybe Final Reckoning or something like that. You guys had said we haven't gotten that many five star comments. Maybe we should just give up. And then, you know, like a flood of people gave you a whole bunch of comments, and then you read their names. Guess what? I was one of those names on that list. And so I am so happy to be here. I've been listening to you guys for like forever, it feels like, and this is like amazing. I can't wait.
Mari, I'm getting emotional because that's so funny. Like, I wish this was a video so you could see my face right now, but I don't, because then you'd see how disgusting I look right now. But
same.
So I became aware of Mari like everybody else in RHAP did recently. One of the small bright spots of 2020 is that I became a fan of Mari's. And I reached out to you about coming on New Girl Old Guy, which I did forget to plug last week, Brian, that you were on my other
that's
podcast.
Okay. That's okay.
This synergy only works if we remember to plug it, but I digress.
It works better that it's not plugged anyway.
Because I was so desperate to do a podcast with you, and you're like, so I don't watch that, but I do watch The Challenge. I was like, okay, great, noted, we'll remember. Then, like, the premiere happens, and I DM you, like, when are you coming on? I did not forget it. Like, when? So, we're equally as excited to have you as you are to be here. You've been watching for a while, which is probably more than a lot of listeners.
Yeah.
And new fans.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't
know. No, you know what I'm going to ask you. You know. Go ahead.
I've been watching since like the very first challenge. I'm like a big fan of like Battle of the Sexes 1 and 2, and then like the original Battle of the Seasons. But like, I've been watching the challenge like since then. And then, but it was around, I want to say, the original Free Agents, maybe after Fresh Meat 2, that I fell off. Like, unlike Brian, I am not a Johnny Bananas fan.
That's so okay. Not everyone's perfect.
Oh. So once I started to see, like, the writing of the wall, the same people coming back, the same people winning, I honestly fell off. I missed Free Agents. I missed, I think it was Invasion of the Champions. I missed a lot of it. And then season 30, Dirty 30, I got back in it. I had just got onto the Rehab community. I started listening to you guys, and I've been back since 30-30. So it's been good. It's been great these last few seasons. And I think the smartest thing MTV has ever done is calling like the Dirty 30 trilogy. Cause that I was like, well, there's three of them. I gotta keep watching.
That's amazing. That's amazing to hear in that perspective. Cause we're over here like our sorry selves. And who knows if I would have fallen off without the podcast. So like, I understand that completely, mm-hmm. But it's very funny because from our perspective, we were like, these seasons, like, stop trying to make the trilogy happen. Like, they have nothing to do with each other. But from I guess, a marketing perspective, like, obviously they get it and we don't. So that's good to hear.
I liked perspective. It. Yeah. I mean, Final Reckoning was the last season of that, and that was kind of meh. But I thought it was great because the Vendettas brought all of that stuff back from Dirty 30, and I thought it was great. I liked it. So
you come out knowing you know more than us of some of this stuff. Final Reckoning was less of the trilogy. I could have guessed it was anything else. So you're way ahead of us.
Don't speak for yourself, Brian. I know shit. You know what is the sign of a good season? Is that I'm even excited to watch the previously on. Like when CT, they show again CT making the decision to not pick Cam. And I didn't appreciate this the last time, but CT's like, why? Tell me why. And she just goes, Killa! That is amazing.
Not convincing enough, though.
Killa! Anytime like, you ask me something, Brian, I'm just going to be like, Killa, come on, Killa!
Yeah, she's like, Killa, Killa Cam, Queen Cam. Like she just started yelling her nicknames at him.
That's sort of what we said to Rob when I was like, you're going to want to support Cam. He's like, why? I'm like, Killa. you just do. What was your take on that, Mike? We're not going to like rehash the whole premiere, but I have to know, what was your take on the premiere and what was your take on the CT snub?
So, of course, I was like, the disrespect. Like, I'm such a big Cam fan and a big CT fan. And immediately after he did that, I was like, I want his head. I was just like Cam. I was like, throw him in. Like, but the funny thing is, like, we'll get into it. But as soon as he, like, came back groveling, I was like, it's okay. You can stay now. Like, I was like, that's all it took for CT to just be a little nice. And I was, like, back on his train. But the premiere was just absolutely amazing. It was so good. I agreed with everything you guys said. Like, what a way to open a season during, you know, with all the craziness that's going on. And just from the fact of throwing in those big targets, Natalie winning, just it was great. It was amazing. And I that's why I told you, I was like, I'm coming on next week because I wanted to be here when they resolve this cliffhanger.
Okay, well, take us to it.
Okay, so we come back with like TJ telling Natalie, oh, you can change your partners. Not only could she pick between like CT, but then she could infiltrate any of the other double agents and pick anybody up there. And originally I was like, everybody else, I was like, why did she stay with Wes again? You know, because Cam was right from her, was it Cam in the confessional where she was like, girl, you're down there because of Wes. Mm-hmm. And that was my first thought. I was like, why would you stick with somebody who got you thrown in originally? But then, you know, I also realized she already got her gold skull. We now know that it's men and women's days, and the chances of them sending her specifically down on a women's day again is basically nilch. So I see why she stuck with him. I think it was a smart move. I did.
Right. I totally agree. I think we kind of discussed what we thought she would do when we both agreed that was. We didn't think there was a chance she was going to switch, and you know she didn't even deliberate. I think they had to quickly find a spot to cut away to any of the episode just to leave it as a cliffhanger, because the second she was even offered the chance, she was, no, I'm sticking with Wes. Wes is my guy. And I think that was the right move for both of them as two big targets to kind of stick together. And you know, we kind of got to see the benefits of having Wes as a partner. We saw in this episode really kind of showing his kind of scheming ability and how he can really be a beneficial for Natalie going forward. So I think it was the right decision, and it was probably already paying dividends.
You know what I love about it is like, and maybe this is just, I have some deep seated need to be needed or something, but that is like very suppressed. If you're on a team, it's almost why I was like last week, if I'm Anissa, I would almost be insecure and say, who wants to be on a team. I only want to be on a team with someone who wants to be. I don't want to be Kyle and have Nani go in the club and say, ooh, like, maybe not my best choice. I want to be wanted. So for me, what a great morale boost for their team. And it's not like Wes is ever going to be at risk of switching from Natalie. But to have Natalie, who's one of the most coveted female partners, and have her say, no question, no doubt, Wes. Like, that's a team. That's a team I'm supporting, because that energy is like, it's like how Devin says with Lolo and Nam. Like, okay, well, now they have a romantic connection. That's only going to help them. Like, this morale, loyalty, trust, whatever. Apparently, that matters. I think that matters in a team.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And then we also, the other looming question was what was going to happen with CT. And we found out when your partner gets eliminated, you become a rogue agent. So, and you kind of just float by for the entire episode. You don't really do anything. You can hang out with TJ during the challenge. You're not up for elimination. And then when it comes down to it, whoever is left of the opposite sex partner is now your partner at the end of the episode. It's kind of it's a pretty free ride and a real almost like a benefit to have your partner be eliminated, because you kind of get a free pass.
Yeah, but and that's what I thought as well. I was a little confused about that, but if you really stop and think of it, CT didn't get a chance to participate in the daily, so that meant he got no power. He couldn't become a double agent. And then it was a men's skull day. He wasn't able to go down to get a gold skull. So he missed one opportunity to get a gold skull. So when you actually really think of it, it's not a good place to really be. And I mean, his partner was the one who lost her, you know, her spot, and he's kind of getting punished for it. But that is the other flip of the coin of both of you got sent down there. So it's really interesting. And, you know, we see at the end how all of it will resolve. But it was fascinating. I'm liking how these rules are unfolding, to be quite honest, even though we know that it's at any time they could change them. But so far, so good.
Let's flesh that out more. And I know this is out of order, but like, let's not bury that. Like, I feel like you're getting at one of the most interesting things we have to talk about is sort of the role of the rogue agent. So let's put everything on the table. Mari, I think you just made an incredible point about losing an opportunity to go in and get a skull, especially when they're hammering that there are only 10 skulls. First of all, when I saw this, that they were just like, okay, the next, you know, available partner will be your partner, I'm sitting here being like, Brian, how did we not think of that last week? Like, I feel like this was obvious, right?
I think because we had so low expectations for MTV to screw up this twist, and we didn't think they would do the easiest and simplest and best explanation, and they did. Like, this is the easiest and best way to do this. But I think the question that's going to come out of this, and I think this is going to be the next point in the game where they can really kind of pull the rug out from the people who think they have this game figured out, is Cindy Levinson asks, will they always alternate eliminations, men then women, when the genders are balanced? Or do you think they'll switch the order up and make it a men's duel on a typical women's day?
So perfect.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to tee it up to you. So is that the next kind of twist that's going to happen maybe halfway through the point where either at one point it'll be a double elimination, they're both out, which I'm sure they'll do, and then maybe also do a swap where it's back-to-back either men or women's eliminations?
Well, that's interesting. Oh, sorry, Mari, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Allie. I'm just so excited.
Me too. This is great. Like, let's have this out. Love the energy. Love
basically,
it.
Both, I thought one of the, so besides the fact that they can't just have a man get a free pass every week, right? Because if they always do men, women, men, women, the person in the CT rogue, there will never be a woman rogue agent, like, you know, whatever.
Right.
So even if it's a punishment, you're still safe for a week. So I don't think they can do that. I think what was weird is they have the pair come in. They have Nani and Kyle come down, and they act shocked that it's going to be a men's day.
Yes.
So that to me is the real trigger that there's going to be like, oh, it's going to be a variety. They're trying to act like they don't know.
So here's what I wrote down in my notes, because initially, like when me and my husband were watching, when he did that great big pause at the today is a men's day, we were like, we looked at each other like, duh, like, what are y'all talking about? So what I think is, I wouldn't be surprised if next week it's a double elimination, or it's a partner based elimination. Because I, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought in one of the preview montages for the season, we saw what looked like three or four people like chained together in something, and it didn't look like a daily. It looked like it was an elimination. So I can really see, like, especially like next week, they have it all figured out. They're like, okay, we know what's going to happen. You know, we saw if they go home, they get to pick. We saw all of that. We got to figure it out. Now let's put in these people, blah, 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 blah. And then I think they say, okay, this is a double elimination. And then they do some sort of elimination where either both the pairs of partners, like they go up against the partners, like two pairs go up against each other, or they do something where it's the men versus the men, the women versus the women. Then whoever goes home, you create that, you know, that Frankenstein pair, depending on, you know, who leaves, which is what we all three, like all of us thought was going to happen last week. That didn't happen. Yeah. So that's what I personally can see coming, because if you also think of it, I'm sorry, I keep going, but if you also think of it with 10 gold skulls, right? There's 10 gold skulls, five women, five men. But there's 15 pairs of people. So either five pairs are never going to get a chance to go in and just end up having to walk away at the end of the season, or they're going to throw in some double elims in there. So at least everybody can almost kind of get a chance. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I totally think that's it could easily happen, something like that. And I think what, you know, if they do this type of swap, especially if they do it early, either next week or even the week after, what this could also help prevent is the problem we saw last season of people, you know, so openly wanting to go in, like, because they have it all figured out. They know when their chance to go in, they're going to go in. Now, all of a sudden, you have one partner who has a skull, the other one doesn't, and the other one obviously wants to go in. The partner might not want them to go in because they might be the ones that have to go in themselves. They already have a skull. There's no incentive for them to go in. So this will really force everyone to not be so easy, like, all right, this is my chance, I'm gonna go in. And it'll force people that win the daily to really take their chance. Like, you know, this is your chance to go in. It's very clear. There's no magic trick that TJ can pull. So this is your chance to go in. And I think, you know, this could be the real Fessy regretting moment of maybe he doesn't get a chance because he doesn't, his situation doesn't pop up. And this was his moment. And I think, you know, we'll have to see if he really, really ends up regretting this moment.
I am just sitting here praying to the challenge gods that we have some pattern or predictability, and we won't. Now, would it be great to see? No, it wouldn't, actually, because, well, it's so interesting because Anissa and Fessy in a pair elimination, let's say, like, they, Fessy throws him, they get voted in and he asks the house to vote him in or whatever to get their skull, thinking it's going to be a guy's day and it's a pair day. I think no matter what happens, Anissa's going to get blamed for, like, quote, like, bringing down Fessy. But also, like, they'd be very interesting because Anissa's amazing at a physical elimination, and so is Fessy, but Anissa's going to puzzle. So, anyway, that would be interesting. But I don't want people to get totally blindsided in this way. I love the possibility that people like Big T are going to be able to sort of strategize. Okay, well, I kind of want my partner to go in now, and then I can bounce to CT. And, like, it's so fun when they have information to work with. And I do feel like I agree with you guys that, like, they won't have this information. It will be more likely that they're, like, shocked or they get the rug pulled out from them or whatever. But, oh, I would love for them to be able to strategize about against themselves, basically.
Well, you mean like Kyle did this episode?
Yes, basically. Like, I don't know. I'm like, but I'm just, I'm overwhelmed with the possibility that there are all of these places where you can scheme where you used to be able to, but then they're sort of undoing it a little with, like, again, teeing up, like you're saying, you and your husband were talking about, Mari, like, that they're going to take that away in the elimination, and the way they show the votes, like, you know, that's going to become exposed probably next episode. And then maybe we don't have people having a willingness to do what they did this episode, which is go against the house.
I personally think the only way to the best way to strategize this format, from what everything I've seen in these two episodes, is to, instead of trying to figure out who you want to go in and get their gold skulls, you need to be trying to find ways to keep certain people out. That's what I think they should have, people should have tried doing last year that they didn't. And I think this year would be the perfect year to do that. Try and keep out those strong physical people from even getting a chance to get a gold skull and make them have to, you know, win double agent to put themselves in. That's, I think, would be the smart, that's the most easiest thing to control with all these moving parts.
That's what I thought was brilliant about Fessy's and Anissa's move here. And it's so funny, before we got on, Mari was like, oh, I don't want to jump to the end or do spoilers. And we're like, no, like sometimes you just, and now I'm like, put the most interesting stuff at the top, baby. Yep. That's style. But it is, and we'll get more into it, and we'll have Brian put us on our path again in a second, but it keeps Wes out. Why give Wes, but I need Wes to answer through this episode, why the plan was to give Wes, now I'm like Big T, Jacob, Jonathan on a silver platter. And, you know, okay, Fessy doesn't take him for himself. We'll talk about that. But brilliant to keep Wes out. And I think that's the excellent point that you raise, is like, why send Wes? You guys control the house. Make Wes win if he wants to get a skull.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, I understand the idea of, at least in the beginning, maybe putting Wes and CT in together so you knock one of them out and then you can deal with getting the other one out at a certain point. But yeah, the idea of this master plan of Wes getting Joseph in an elimination, I mean, if anything, that's like Wes's master plan, and they were kind of doing it for him. So that didn't fully make sense. Unless like their idea was just to get Wes in, and then based on the elimination, they can kind of switch it up and vote someone else in. But there was no other really backup that we heard them talking about as a strong competitor to knock Wes out. So it was that part didn't make sense.
Yeah, the house, and when we say they, we're talking about the house vote, right? Because because it really didn't. So I mean, not Leroy, but Cam and all, you know, who she thought was her alliance, because not most of her alliance voted Joseph in. They thought the best plan would be to vote in Wes, because I think they knew that Fessy was thinking about then throwing in Devin or throwing in Kyle against Wes. Maybe the rest of the house didn't think that, but I also think it was just a confluence of things that just happened all at the same time, because Joseph just really started pissing everybody off. And when your own partner is asking people to throw you in, there's not much, you know, you can do to change that tide. So I completely agree with Brian. If you're throwing Joseph in at that point, once Fessy and Anissa knew that Joseph was in, I don't understand how Fessy didn't just psych himself up for the rest of the day to go in. Like, I really don't.
Yeah, so the lot of meat on the bone. I guess we can jump to the beginning a little bit and kind of build everything back up where we start the things back in the house. So we see Wes and CT, or Wes and Natalie, talking about how, you know, they feel like they've woken some sleeping giants. These are just small beats, but then
can
Joseph being made, go for
this.
It.
Am I going to be blinded by something every episode? First, we have the veneers on Kyle. Then we have Wes's naked body. I was like, if I had to put sunglasses on, it was like Edward Cullen outside with him shirtless. Not to like pale shame him, but I feel like every episode there's something that blinds me off the reflection of my laptop.
Well, we had workout shaming too. Joseph being made fun of for his workout routine. Big T making fun of Joseph.
His minimal movements and isolations is what Pure Barre has built a bajillion-dollar industry off of. Like, that is real. That will get you toned, that stuff. 1,000 reps of that will get you toned.
Yeah, you could just tell Joseph is just a fish out of water. They put this in here because he completely just doesn't get any of these people. And these people just want to make fun of him.
What I love, maybe, honestly, I love Nani. This was maybe my favorite moment of the entire episode, of Nani talking about her partner and saying how she needs someone who takes the game seriously, like her, like she does, as the uber serious competitor. Kyle's one who flirts through the game. He doesn't take it seriously. He drinks, he parties. She wants someone like her who takes it seriously. And if there's anything about Nani, it's that she takes this game seriously. That's what we know for 10 years. She takes it seriously.
I was dying for you to die over this when I was it's iconic, the lack of self-awareness. Yeah. Like, it's the lack of self-awareness for me, to quote Justine from Love Island. I just, with Nani, it's like she's to spoil, her perfect match is Josh, because they're both entirely too high on themselves. They have zero self-awareness. It's like the most iconic couple of all time.
When Nani said, like, her and Kyle's games are just too different, I was like, girl, where? Y'all are the exact same person. When they matched up last week, I was like, their games are exactly the same. Avoid eliminations. Avoid the sneakiness, like you said, the gaming, the social aspect. That is both of their games. Mm-hmm. So I was so confused when she had said that. I thought her reasoning of not wanting to be his partner, because she originally said he's not my half, he's not the my better half, and I was like yeah, he's not, because y'all are the same. But she was like, no, she didn't see it that way, and I'm like, girl, come on.
Yeah, I thought she was gonna say, I need someone who compliments me, who's right. Not this other.
But then she wouldn't be Nani, and this is not, you know, she's the, you know, the gym rat there at 6 a.m. in the morning, last one out there. That's Nani. You guys haven't been watching her for 10 years. She's serious.
This is also the problem with it, is like, besides, I mean, that's not a problem. That's hilarious. We love that. We love to see it. The problem I have is just sort of the opposite of the Natalie morale point, is like, she's sort of lucky this didn't come back to bite her, almost in that because she's got an identical partner to her, she's lucky that this didn't blow up in her face. Mm-hmm. But you don't want to be there is nothing to be gained from going around the house shit talking your partner, right, when they're in a position to vote yourself down, mm-hmm, to get rid of you. You know what I mean? Like, you want, mm-hmm, to have trust with your partner. So Joseph got one thing right, but... so I just thought that was such a bad look for Natalie, and, you know, to come full circle for Nani. And it was fun that she kind of got hers. But looking at the room, this was Nani, Cam, and Nicole. Yep. Mm-hmm. I feel like Nicole and Cam would also change their I thought they were lying through their teeth saying that they wouldn't change their partner.
Especially Cam. She's like, oh, I would never change. I was like, really? Really?
Okay. I think I said last week, I thought Nicole and Devin are actually really good for each other. I don't think either of them real. I mean, I guess maybe they could, like, if Nicole wanted to upgrade to Wes, I guess that would make sense, because that's like the better version of Devin. And if Devin wanted to upgrade to like Natalie, because that's like a better version of Nicole. But outside of that, like, possibility, I do think they would work well together as a team. So I think they would probably be better off kind of sticking to each other.
I mean, you're right in that Nicole needs Devin, I think, and vice versa. Like, Nicole is a great athletic competitor for Devin, where he maybe lacks compared to some of these behemoth men. Mm-hmm. And he's got puzzles, and Nicole is, like, famously terrible at puzzles. So they're a good team in that respect.
She's got the brain of the infant, so, you know.
But I don't know that she cares about that, really. Like, I don't know. I feel like if she wanted, could switch to, like, Nam, she'd want to. Maybe not. I just thought it was funny that two people who have partners that are very switchable were like, never, and not, like, not taking the cues. And it's like, well, I'd kind of like to get rid of Kyle.
Two partners that are kind of feeling each other, Lolo and Nam. Little love connection starting to brew this episode, at least from the Lolo side. Nam,
right?
You can't really tell. I think something might be happening there, but definitely on the Lolo side, she's feeling her partner.
Sorry, I have a friend named Nam, NAM, and I'm gonna get that wrong all season. I'm gonna try. No, I'm not. I even thought about it. I was like, no, it's Nam, but that's just what I was familiar with. My mistake.
Is it Nam? Nam is the.
I think correct? It's Nam.
I don't even know what I just said. Did I say Nam or Nam?
I
don't even know.
I think people on TV say Nam, although we know from Are You the One that people proudly mispronounced Asaf's name all season on TV. Right.
All
so
season.
But yeah. I think we're going with Nam until we hear otherwise.
Until further notice. But yeah, this Nam and Lolo scene was hilarious. I'll give it to them. Lolo, like, being a thirst bucket is kind of funny. And I was a fan of watching her on Big Brother. But I did write down, like, once I rewatched the episode, I was kind of like, why? Like, why did they put this in here? The editing for this episode was just outstanding. It was outstanding. It hit every little mark that needed to be hit before the big switch at the end. So I actually went back and wrote my notes on second viewing, which I wish I hadn't, because I wish I got my like gut reactions from the first viewing. But going back in the second viewing, I was like, wait, why is Nam and Lolo here? But I guess it's just to get these little cheesy, cute sections of them being like flirty. And I'm here for it. I really want to see where it goes. But Lolo just thirsting is quite hilarious. I love it.
How fun is it to see like a highly celebrated athlete be like the vulnerable girl that you know, like it's like, right. Oh, it's all the same shit, you know, like I just love that. And the way when Lolo gets in the hot tub and is like, just remember this under my sweatpants, is that this is happening. And like, I love how like openly flirtatious she's being. I love that she gets nothing back from Nam, but then we get in the confessionals like, yeah, it would be like $2 million to have Lolo and the money. And it's like, why is poor Lolo is not getting any information from him or a sign of life, but we're hearing like, no, he likes you too. It's all good. It's all good. What is confusing to me, so I love this. I needed this. I needed it as the fun break. It's like not a sad, dark relationship where people are fighting and it's not someone cheating. It's like just two available people having some fun.
Yeah.
I love the Greek chorus of Anissa and Wes and Teresa. That, like, I want to see the three of them together forever. But did they kiss and we miss? You watched it twice, Mari. I rewound this one scene. That's what I care about. I watched this scene twice. So I saw no European kiss.
Right. That's why I was so confused. Like, I was looking for it. I was like, I don't see anything. And then, but Nam said in the confessional, like, oh, it'd be an honor to kiss her. I'm like, well, where? Where's the footage?
Roll the tape.
But, oh my God, when they said, oh, imagine the babies, and and Wes was like, oh, I was dying laughing. That scene I understood. I was completely dying. And Wes, like, again, I felt like this episode was too much Wes because, again, I have a complicated relationship with Wes. But watching him just talk about how Nam is like a whole man, and I loved it. I did. I really had fun with that.
It was great. It was great.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So anything else before we get to the daily of the week? Anything else to touch on?
We're at the daily, so I'm going to take the next few minutes off.
Challenge this week called Ice Spy. The teams have to swim out to a boat, collect a giant ice block with a kill in it, swim it back. Luckily, ice floats in water, so that helps the cause. They can bring it back to shore, break it open, take out the kill, and then they have to pick what other team they want, and they could put it in their little basket. Three kills, and you're eliminated.
So what is the challenge in like, what's with them in cold water? Like, why do they love cold water and putting people in freezing cold water? I was just like, poor Michi. He was just drowning in that water, unfortunately. Yeah. But I was so like dying when he was just like, please just put another two in here so I don't have to go back out there. This challenge was fun. I really liked it. I want to hear y'all opinions on the whole everybody being afraid to make a move, though.
Well, I was going to say, I wish they just put a kill in me, because this was one of the worst challenges, at least as a viewer, that I've seen in a long time. Like, I love the concept of, like, putting out the political game of doing kills, but in terms of, like, a viewing experience, outside of like Michi dying,
yes,
and Fessy and Anissa never getting a target, I have no takeaways from this entire challenge. It was just a cluster mess of something. I couldn't track who was putting it in, who was being eliminated, what was happening until it was just, all right, Fessy and Issa won. Congrats.
So, okay, first of all, I have to address Michi because the show didn't. Where is Michi? We never follow up on Michi. He gets carted away. Challenge doctors come. They drag his body out of the water and we never hear about it again.
No, and he popped up. Like, the only reason why I thought of it is he popped up at a confessional later on. I was like, oh, I guess he's okay. Good for him.
Where is TJ coming in and being like, Michi's not here for the vote, but he'll be back or whatever? Like, where's him in the foil blanket saying, like, I'm back from the hospital? Like, we didn't see.
And I love that they didn't even bother stopping the challenge. Like, he's drowning. They're like, nope, keep going. He'll battle through. Don't worry. Just keep going. We're not stopping.
The challenge wasn't even happening. And that's where I'm sort of with, I'm sort of between both of you. But with what you were saying, Mari, about the editing generally, it's so funny because they gave us Michi, then they took him away. I feel like he had his highest highs before he got carted off, where I was like, this is why you need a Michi on the season, because he doesn't do this professionally. It's not that he doesn't care in a Jacob way. I'm big T. Joseph. It's not like he doesn't care in a Joseph way. It's like, he's like, I got in the water and I almost turned around. Like, this is crazy. He's the everyman being like, why do we do this? This is not worth it. I don't need to die here. And then they take him away.
And I think that's what it was. I think that you're right. I didn't like the challenge itself, but I loved the confessionals. Like, I loved all of the confessionals. Michi and everything he said. I liked when Leroy accidentally put, like, another kill in Wes and Natalie. Like the talking head stuff to me was way more interesting than, you're right, the actual challenge. And people like, oh, why is CT in particular, like, oh, nobody's putting stuff in Anissa and Fessy's in their kill thing, so I wonder if they're running the house. So I think that was more what I took away from the challenge, was people's perceptions of what they were getting from it. But you're right, the actual thing was just nobody wanted to make a move. So
in theory, I do love this idea of a challenge, like the who picking who you want to knock out. I just couldn't track, like, who was doing what. It was just too much going on. I wish they kind of slowed it down or make the component of getting the kill thing easier to do, so you can kind of track it better. I don't know. I just wish they made it cleaner.
It's broken for two reasons. The first is, I mean, both are really what you're getting at. The first is, this is reminiscent of the challenge where they had to, like, haul all that garbage to people's bins, and then you had to, like, hold it up. And so you're, like, saboing your partner, you're, like, the other people. But we had no metric of how much was in what and who was putting what. Like, it was chaos. All of the kills were the same color. Like, it should have been, like, you get your, like, pink ones, and then you can see, like, oh, the pink team put it in three in Wes's or whatever. Also, like, broken because of the same reasons that this is the coconut chop challenge, whatever.
Yes, rope
chop
is
broken on Survivor. Because exactly what happens here, which is, everyone's, like, afraid to make a move, but also you're able to talk about it, and everybody basically just decided that Fessy and Anissa were going to win again. Yep. I'm curious to hear your guys' opinion on why you think they wanted them to win again. Is it maybe it is that, you know, they already have blood on their hands and everyone feels good with them of what's going to happen. But what was good about Survivor's challenge, for anyone who doesn't watch Survivor, basically it was the same thing where it would basically be trivia. Actually, we've seen it sort of on Trivia and the Challenge, where if you get a question right, you can give a chop to somebody else, and they two chops and they're off the challenge. That works because there's a spotlight on you, and also is effective because someone might get mad about it. Here, who's getting mad that you put a kill in theirs in the chaos of it all and everybody's doing it? So it's like nobody could even see. We couldn't see from the audience. There are no true consequences, and they picked the winner.
And I feel like one of the main reasons why it failed is because it's too early in the season.
Yes.
This is a second challenge. So people are still in that trying to figure out where they want to go with their game thing. So, of course, nobody wants to really ruffle feathers. If they had put it close to the middle or near the end, I think you would have seen way more blood. So I don't understand what the decision there was. But I do think that for my take on why they let it do Anissa and Fessy, was because they wanted them to get more blood on their hands. They would have rather, and most of the people in the challenge are aligned with them, either one or of them or both of them. So I think they felt comfortable enough to give Anissa and Fessy the win again. They, like Cam, at least when Cam was talking in her confessional, she was like, she wanted to continue their plan from last week. CT, we can't touch CT. Let's continue to go after Wes. And that's what I personally would have done as well if I was her. So I just think that it's a level of comfortability and them thinking they already know what the plan is going to be. So might as well just give it to them.
Brian, yeah. How much does blood on your hands even matter? And like maybe more in other games, but I almost think that becomes more of an excuse when it suits your game to throw someone in. But like, are we really, is Wes really going to make all of his decisions based on the figureheads of Fessy and Anissa who put him in when he's got other things to be thinking about?
Yeah, not necessarily Wes. I think Wes could see the bigger picture. But for this season, when you really have one team, just two people making a type of decision like this and they're tossing someone in, I can see some other people like a Corey or like Nelson or some people that maybe are not as experienced as Wes, that can kind of put it to the side as, you know, this one person is tossing me in, I can really focus and go after and try to get vengeance on this one person. So there is a scenario where, yeah, blood in your head could really impact this season in particular, where you really only have one person of your gender to target.
It's almost like Kyle to me, that's blood on your hands. But when everybody's making sort of a seemingly unanimous decision, I don't buy it as much. But that's a fair point.
Yeah, I see both those points. And I just think that, again, the people who were closest to Fessy and Anissa wanted to give it to them because they thought no matter what, Wes was going to go in. And I like, again, when we get to the end, we are definitely going to have to talk about that big misstep that they definitely did. So, yeah, overall, I agree with you guys. This daily was.
Mm-hmm. How does so Fessy and Anissa win and TJ? I was kind of disappointed that TJ didn't like shame them for like negotiating the challenge, and he made it like it was impressive of Anissa and Fessy. And in a way, it is like that everybody in the house basically wanted them to win.
Nah, that was super shade. That was super shade, Allie. That was shade on level 100.
I thought his tone was like, oh, so I guess, you know, they're all just kind of caving to you. They're scared of you. They're gonna let, they're letting you win. I guess it's over. We should give him the check.
I guess I'm so distracted by Fessy saying it's a new era, TJ. That those words in Fessy's voice radiated through my apartment.
Face of the challenge words, perhaps.
Yeah.
Wait. Well, I can't say that. You want Fessy not to come back?
Well, Jordan came back. Other people came back. The curse is over.
Yeah, Jordan, look at well.
Well, not a great example.
Yeah. TJ was just being pissy here. I thought he was being very, very pissy, like tantrum pissy.
Fair enough. I take that back. But do you think that Fessy, that this is a new era of the challenge, and Fessy is that? Face of it, that is this a new era? Like, and we're drawing, you know, and I used to commute through Times Square, and there's the Viacom building, and they have the big challenge sign, and there's five panels, and it was Bananas, and it was Cara, and it was CT, and it was Wes. Actually Fessy might have been on there last year. Corey started to be on it. Are we ushering in a new era where those pictures are Fessy and who's next to him? Tori?
Tori hasn't gotten any screen time this season. So,
yeah. I don't think so because I kind of think they kind of, the other contestants kind of bring it up multiple times throughout this episode. Fessy just has no personality. And the reason why people like CT, Wes, Bananas, like they were able to be these faces over the time is not just because of their competitive skills. It's because they were just charismatic people and you wanted to kind of see them on screen and see what they would do and see what they would say. No one cares what Fessy has to say, really. Like, I mean, he doesn't even say anything to begin with. So, like, I mean, sure, as a competitor, could he win a couple of these over, you know, the next few years? Yeah, sure. But in terms of like, oh, you got to go see Fessy on screen, like that's just not him. It just never will be.
And that's why it sent chills down my spine when he said it's a new era. And he's getting that quote on screen. I'm like, Ooh, I don't know how I feel about the Fessy era, but so far so good. So far so good. How do you think, can we break down sort of the alliances or the allegiances in the house? Because last week, it was CT and Ashley with support from Wes, Natalie, Big T, and God, who was the one other vote?
Devin.
Now we see Kyle sort of telling Wes, giving him a heads up, playing sort of the West side. Where would you guys, like, I want to sort out who does Wes have as options on his allies on his side? Because I don't even think the votes do it, because to me, a lot of votes were for Big T and not for Wes, were just like, you know,
we're kind of anti. I think it was also kind of anti dealing with Fessy wanted type thing.
You think I thought it was anti Joseph for me.
To me, I thought a lot of the reason why it swung was people were like, yeah, Fessy, we want Wes in, but we want Fessy to do it. Why should we do it? And then like things could change. Like, I think a lot of people wanted Fessy to do it himself rather than risking them having to take the bullet.
OK, so
yeah, I know that was Leroy. Yeah, Leroy definitely. But I think that's because Leroy does have a closer bond with Wes. Mm-hmm. So
where are Wes's inroads? Like, how many of people? So that's what I mean. It's like, yeah, the votes to me don't say like, oh, these are Wes's allies. Mm-hmm. Who are Wes's allies? We have Devin and Nicole.
Kyle, Devin, Nicole.
I mean, sort of Leroy to a degree. I mean, he went against, you know, his girlfriend in the vote, which I thought was a pretty big deal that they didn't vote in tandem. I mean, we still don't know. I know Joseph kind of stood up to Wes, but we don't really know where a lot of the rookies lie, like Gabby, Leo. Mm-hmm. Like, they're kind of still floating out there, and we know how Wes could kind of work his term. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him swoop them up, especially if you can make the pitch of, like, we have to go against the Big Brother people, and you're not in the Big Brother crew, so we have to go against them. So I still could put them as potential Wes in the corner people.
I think his pitch and his only pitch is the one that he makes. So I'm cheating by being like, this is what he actually does. But like the pitch he makes to Grovel at the Young Bucks, because I think his only pitch is to be like, go get your skulls against these rookies.
Yeah.
Leave me alone. I don't think he can really, we've seen Wes unsuccessfully try to mount a defense with rookies. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think A, he's got the talent in the rookie class, and B, he's got their respect. Like, I think they're more likely to follow a Kyle or like their other UK people or their partners, to the extent that they're not paired up with each other, which a lot of them are. But like, Kyle to me is interesting, Mari, that you say him. I didn't realize that Kyle was sort of with Wes, because Kyle participates in the vote against Wes and CT last week.
And it was weird, yo.
Yeah. And so he's sort of like trying to play both sides, which I think
is he always does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But his plan, and I was sort of happy that Wes had sort of this counter, they had this counter plan, is to put Joseph in. Still put Wes in.
Yep.
Then form two strong allies, like duplicate your allies, regenerate them with Big T working with CT. And I thought that was really interesting.
When I heard that, I looked at James, I looked at my husband, I was like, oh my God, that was like mastermind next level shit. And he was like, oh, what are you talking about? I was like, they're talking about multiplying their allies. Like, that was such a good conversation between Kyle and Devin, minus calling his partner an infant, muscle-bound infant, or whatever he called Nicole. Devin and Kyle really sitting down and utilizing the twist in this way, and as we see in the end, it comes to fruition, was just, it was masterful. It really was. I have to give them that, because I don't think none of us, you know, y'all didn't bring it up last week. I didn't think about it. Splitting up teams so that somebody has to work with you and giving somebody who's on the out a partner that they can work with, who you know will follow them, who will then follow you, is just such brilliant thinking.
It's like the next level of what Cam and Leroy initially did. did and Josh
exactly.
Lucy did. It's like that it's, next iteration yes. of it.
It's 4D chess. And the fact that last week, you know, you guys were talking about should they have made that big swing when you don't know all the rules. Brian thought they shouldn't. Allie, you thought, you know, it was a good move. I thought it was a good move because I am sick and tired of
the who let Mari on this podcast? Why? What is she doing here? Yeah,
I stacked the deck, Ryan, obviously.
Right. And I mean, just because the vets are constantly throwing in the rookies. This year, the rookies finally out, like they basically outnumber the vets. And that's where I agreed with Allie, because you have the numbers now. And I still agree with it, even though it failed miserably. What I don't agree with in this episode is they took their foot off the brake. If you're gonna come for somebody, keep going for them. And that's where I think this whole thing went off the rails this episode. Don't try and backtrack. You know, don't try and let off the gas once you've already swung for the king and you miss. You keep swinging until you finally hit them. And that's what I was really disappointed with, you know, most of the majority of the house voting in Joseph and then Fessy not following through getting Wes out, because it's just a giant misstep. It's like you're leaving your enemy here to then come and tag you in the back. And I just don't like that.
Brian, you could say I'm multiplying my allies.
There you go.
No, and I agree, and we're all over the place, but that's the fun of this episode is like,
yeah.
When Joseph makes a pitch at the deliberation and his pitch is almost there. It's like,
yes, real close.
His pitch is almost there. I forget what he says now because I'm all out of sorts here. Or, oh, he says,
yeah, because I'm curious. I want some clarity on what's the good part of his pitch, because I thought he was a mess the entire time. So
he says that don't give Wes the security of knowing he's going against. Well, what yeah. I like it, it's sort of the same school of thought that Jay comes from. It's like, if you're a rookie with basically no chance, I mean, if we were to put the odds at Joseph coming back before he even stepped foot on the show, just being like a not behemoth guy from America's Got Talent, like what are the right. odds that this guy pops off the screen and becomes the next face of the challenge? Like 1%? Yeah, I would have put that we put see Joseph mm-hmm. again before he even showed up. And this is the way. It's like we say about Big T, like you're not going to win the challenge this season. So right. you might as well be remembered as you go out. And that's sort of what Asaf is even in the conversation to come back the season on. That's what Jay's back on. You know, like you've got to, if you have two episodes, be an idiot and make them memorable. But I like that he was at least trying to make a pitch. Yeah. What the real pitch should have been is don't let Wes, who's got such a high likelihood of scheming his way out of this, get an opportunity to get in Fessy's ear and scheme his way out of this.
But yeah. the problem with that pitch, though, unlike prior seasons, they don't know they were voted in until they get there, right? So everyone finds out who the two teams are that are going in at the exact same time. So normally the vote, like you know you're going in to the elimination, unless I'm not like seeing the episode, like they don't know that they're voted in until
Anissa
at the elimination, right?
Well, okay, that's a good question. Do we know if there's a lag between Anissa and Fessy finding out? Are they back in the house or do they go straight to the challenge?
I think they only know because they just know so that way they can prepare like who they should vote in. They know, okay, they're not.
Or maybe they're not allowed to tell. But regardless, Wes is going to be in their ear if there's an opportunity to be in their ear. But like if we decide Wes can't cut a deal with Fessy and Anissa, maybe Wes has cut a deal with Fessy and Anissa already, knowing he's on the line, like he will snake his way out of this. If you vote him mm-hmm. in now, there's no opportunity.
And Brian, that is such a good point because you're right. We don't.
All right, Mari, you're welcome to stay. You can stay now.
Oh, good. But yeah, they're not. They don't know until they're at the what is it called this year? The
crater.
The crater.
Yes. Until they're at the crater and they put the faces on the thing. So I didn't. Dang, that obliterates that point because I thought the same thing. I was like, oh, that was a good point that Joseph made, and then Brian obliterated, and then Queen Natalie really came in there and obliterated that point as well. Mm-hmm. I was like, dang, Natalie, you didn't have to do that to him.
Well, no, but see, that to me is where Wes looks terrible and Natalie looks good. Like, to me, Natalie wrote the line of, like, of mental game, and it's still in the game. Like, oh, okay, no, if you stop targeting me and my partner, if you're so tough, you go in. And, like, that's appropriate.
Yeah, she did a great job. Yeah.
I thought Wes would let her speak to that. Like, then what Wes comes in, I am wealthy, I am rich, people I love will vote for me, you will never be like that. Like, he gets, like, a little too punching too down on Joseph, and it's not a good look for the king.
I genuinely laughed when the Joseph was like, oh, he's talking about all, he's rich, he's, he wins all these things, and Wes is like, well, there are some facts.
Yeah.
I am rich. That was very funny.
Well, Darrell getting the line, the Dorinda quote of, you know, ballers, real ballers don't tell people how much they're balling, money talks, wealth whispers kind of thing.
Yep.
That saves Wes from looking like an a-hole, because then there's a joke. But I just thought when he was like really coming down after Natalie kind of said enough, and it was so clear that Joseph was going to get voted in. So it was like, stop, Wes. You know, like, this is not fun anymore.
And that's what concerns me, because I don't want Wes corrupting Natalie. I will always root for Natalie, and I just hate that she's tied to the sandbag that is Wes, in my opinion.
I don't feel that bad, but I'm not that mad at it.
And when I say sandbag, I mean my rooting interest sandbag. Like, I can't root for him. But I'm sorry, guys. I got us all off track, and I know
you did. You did.
No, we're on. We're good.
Y'all wanted to skip your club scenes? Y'all cherish the club scenes.
I love that you confirmed now that this is the dome on the property of the town. I love it. Tori's wearing sweatpants.
Sweatpants!
Yeah.
I noticed that too.
Because I was like, oh, I could be at the club right now in my apartment because I'm wearing sweatpants too, just like Tori.
Joseph wasn't sleeping
in my apartment, but, you know, if the mood should strike me, it's inspirational. He's not asleep. Is that what you said, Brian?
Yeah, Joseph's not asleep. That was a plus. I mean, we kind of talked about Jay and Wes kind of talking up Lola with the nom stuff. That was very funny. Nani, you know, serious competitor, competitive talking with Fessy, definitely not trying to bat her eyes at him.
Well,
definitely not doing
Fessy
anything like that
here. He plays this exactly right,
because he
gets asked. It's like Survivor, Big Brother. He basically gets asked, like, "Do you want to go to the end with me? I'll be your partner." And he doesn't say, yeah, I want to get rid of Anissa. No disrespect to Anissa. And nothing like, yes, I want that. I would pick you. It's, if I were your partner, I would be into it and I would support you. Brilliant from Jesse. Absolutely brilliant.
And my thought was, Nani, when do you think you're going to be in a position to choose
Jesse? She's a super serious competitor. Come on, people. This is what she does. She wins eliminations. That's what Nani does.
I think that's the opposite.
Oh my god. No, you're totally right. You're totally right.
We still love her though.
Of course.
Can we talk about the breakdown between Joseph and Big T? Like, did I miss something? Why does Joseph not trust Big T as a partner? Because I almost feel like she wasn't campaigning against him until he had this conversation with her. Unless, you know, editing magic.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he just sensed kind of the disdain that she had for him, clearly from like the jump, right? Like, I mean, she wasn't really that excited in the beginning, and then like the sleeping incident happened. She can't remember his name. Maybe he just kind of picked up that, you know, she doesn't really like you that much, and that kind of just spiraled from there.
Yeah, I think they're oil and water. I guess those are two things that don't like each other, right?
Yeah.
I just think that they just didn't gel well. And I do think that, you know, him saying his motivations of going in were so he could prove himself, la da la la da. But I also think a smidgen of him wanted to get rid of Big T as well. So, yeah, I just think they were put together by circumstance and that they were never going to work together well. So this was the only way their storyline was going to come to some sort of resolution, either him going in or her going in. But you could tell that they wanted to switch partners really badly.
To the conversation we were having about sort of where do the new Brits and the rookies lie, there's this conversation between Big T and Liv and Gabby about the Joseph of it all, whatever. Question, they cut to Amber B twice, who appears to be sitting between Big T and Liv, I think, like between the beds. But then they cut to a shot that's like there's a wall there, no one's sitting there. So they cut to her, and the only reason I catch this is I'm like, oh, I love this for Amber B. Like, she's already in with the Big Brother people, and look at her chilling with the three British rookie women. Like, well, not that Big T's a rookie, but like the Brits. Like, that to me is such a smart place to just be, being friendly with them, chatting with them. Like, oh, okay, Amber. And then I'm like, maybe she's actually not in that room. It's like a jump. It's like a weird cut. And they don't like when Big T's talking, she's only looking to Gabby and Liv. So I'm like, either Amber's in there and they don't want her in there, or for some unexplainable reason, they're cutting to Amber not in a room. Anyway, if someone could get back to me on that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I missed that.
Yeah, I missed
but
that.
But I do like these three UK women. I don't know how far they're going to get. But socially, I think they're doing pretty well. It doesn't seem like anybody doesn't like them or anything. So I'm really interested to see what happens with them. The only problem is they might be looked at as like layups. Mm-hmm. But I like to see them trying to gain some power in the house, because there's a lot of people trying to jockey for power and they need to be on the right side of it. This was a good test week, but they need to try and continue to keep that voting power.
Yeah, we don't really know much about them. I wouldn't be surprised, you know, a few of the rookies, usually eventually they'll probably go in against each other. So I would not be surprised if one or two of them do have an opportunity to kind of change up their partner. And I based off, you know, how this result, I know, Ali, we talked about, we didn't think there would be much switching at all. I think now all of a sudden it kind of opens this up. There might be switching every other episode. So I think for the rookie girls, it kind of allows them, maybe one or two of them will get a Fessy as a partner or a Wes as a partner. And then all of a sudden they're really kind of in the mix of things. So I think that's something that we could look out for them.
A friend of mine who texted me last week and set the over under at 5, and I was like, absolutely not. He texted me today and said, still feel good about that. And I was like, I still actually don't think there's going to be a lot of switching. I really don't. I think, to Mari's point, it's like, well, who's going to be in those positions? Like, is Gabby going to win an elimination and switch? Plus, her partner's great. So maybe it's Leo who'd be in the elimination and switch from Gabby. But I still think everything we said applies. Except Kyle and Nani are a pair that would openly switch. So he said $5, I'll put it at 4.5 and I'll take the over. I said, absolutely, I'm still taking the under. So, you know, maybe I'm wrong. You're right. It does open it more. It's earlier. But I also think you're more likely to get switching early than you are as we go later into the game.
That's true. And I think because of a lot of things, society, women tend to feel more like they need to be loyal than men do. So I'm not surprised that on a men's elimination week that we got like several switches, when the women who, like we were saying earlier, women who probably should be considering switching are saying they don't want to switch. So I wouldn't be surprised if on some of these men eliminations that they decide they want to upgrade their women, because, you know, the thinking in the challenge houses, you know, they always think they can do better. So I wouldn't be surprised. But again, going forward, I still do agree with Ali. I don't see like a partner mismatches, you know, all the time.
I think Josh and Nani now are never going to switch. I think Cam is going to be looking to leave Kyle. So I think that's one that she could win an elimination and she could switch and would switch. I don't see Nam and Lolo switching. You know, we don't have to go through everyone, I guess. I guess CT and Big T maybe looking to do a switch. But then it's almost like if your partner loses, is that a switch?
No, I think the only switch is like that happened this episode was Kyle. Then it's kind of like the dominoes then kind of fall.
So if Big T and CT get thrown in and Big T goes home, you know, that's not a switch.
No, because then even like the pick was really just between the two people that were left. There's no real switching. The switch was Kyle, right? For sure.
I have a question about the lies of it all with the vote, because again, you guys are going to have to explain it to me. Like, I need to know why Fessy was so angry. I mean, I mostly know that it was he was lied to, but.
I'm sorry.
I love it. I'm excited to hear what you have to say. But like, what I'm struggling with painting this broad picture is like, ultimately, Fessy and Anissa get lied to. I don't understand why they are lied to. I think Kyle and Tori, when they come back after the vote, have the perfect opportunity to be like, look, guys, like, Big T got to me right before and she asked me to vote for her. And so what could I do? But it's the same result. I know you want, and you already put Wes in, and I'm really sorry. Like, to me, it's such an easy thing to get out of and be honest about. Ultimately, when the votes come out and Big T and Joseph go in, they're going to know you lied. So why not want to smooth that over when you have the easiest reason to be voting how you're voting, when the outcome is basically exactly the same? So even though Fessy is rightfully mad and Anissa are rightfully mad about being lied to, I still think throwing Kyle in is a good reason. But like, let's say he wanted to put Wes in, or he ultimately wanted Joseph versus Wes. Like, it's an overcorrection to show your entire alliance that you'll flip on them, if that makes sense. Like, that's what I need straightened out, is like, was Fessy too angry? Was the lie too much of a scheme? Like, why did any, I feel like this all happened over a misunderstanding.
Yes. So my thought process with all this is, I agree, more people should be using the, oh my God, I changed my vote at the last minute because of X, Y, and Z excuse. I honestly don't know why across reality TV people don't think about that. But Fessy wanted Wes to go in because he wanted the option of putting one of Wes's allies against him. He wanted basically a play-by-play of last week. He wanted CT versus Wes because those are two big allies. He wanted Wes versus Devin or Wes versus Kyle. The problem is, once the house went with Joseph, he would then have to put the blood on his hands for Wes. And like we all know, Wes versus Joseph is looked like a layup to begin with. So I think he was scared about throwing in Wes again, Wes coming back and then coming back for him, which this is where I say, if you're going to come for somebody's jugular, continue to come for their jugular. But I agree that that's not that wasn't a good idea. Fessy, as soon as it was Joseph, Fessy should have just went in. And because if Fessy went in, he wouldn't have ruined all of his game relationships. Fessy pulling that scared move of surprising Kyle, because I guess, like you said, Allie, I'm still not sure about why they did it, about the whole him being mad, but pulling that surprise move of putting Kyle in there, like, we got that shot of Corey being like, I put my neck on the line voting Wes in, and you couldn't even vote Wes in. Then you got, you got Cam's confessional saying that she wanted Wes in. You got Josh is now mad at them. Like, I have never seen a group of people go from like a top position because you were handed a win to, by the end of the episode, pissing off every single ally you have in that house. That was stunning. And Ali, I wish I could answer your question more. I don't know why Fessy did that. I don't know why they did that.
Yeah, so I think a lot of people did things wrong, because I think for Fessy, I think he first of all got totally lost in the idea of like, oh, let me try to get my own skull, because really for his sake, he should have wanted the house to vote in Joseph. And then let's say the elimination is, it seems like it's more crapshooty or whatever. Then it's like, oh, you know what? This is a great shot. Let me try to take out Wes here, because then maybe Joseph can do it. And then if he sees his physical, it's like, oh, this is perfect for me. I'm going against maybe the weakest guy in the house. This is a perfect spot for me. So that didn't make sense. I thought he should have wanted the house to vote Joseph.
Yes,
and then
exactly.
For the house, I think Wes and Devin just did a really good job of making their pitch of like, don't as you were saying, Ali, use us for future votes, future decisions, future things that, we're strong players. We can come to bat for you. We can win challenges. We can help you. So let's get rid of Joseph, who's like, the rookie, and kind of like going back to week one, like the typical vote. Let's just get rid of a rookie. You can use me. And I think they kind of just got in Leroy and Corey's heads of like, all right, yeah, let's use Wes. Let's, we'll discard Joseph. He's no value to us. And we don't want to take the chance of Fessy at an elimination. And, Wes is in. He's like, okay, let's take out two guys here. And all of a sudden now we're in. So I kind of think a lot of people got caught up in their own head and didn't do what was right for them. And it worked out brilliantly for Wes and Devin. And you kind of see why they're a step above a lot of people strategically and mentally, because they can kind of spin their heads a little bit and make them a little bit confused.
It's what I don't know if I agree with that. Oh, I'm sorry, Ellie, just real quick. I don't know if I agree with that, because I don't really think that vote was driven by Wes and Devin. I literally think that was Big T and maybe Kyle. Like, I honestly think that Big T had the more pull, not that she was like really campaigning for votes, but I think more people just did not like Joseph. I and Corey voted for Wes. So the only people who were on Fessy's side that voted against Fessy was Leroy, Josh, and what?
Kyle,
yeah. So I, and I guess Tori, did Tori vote for them? Yeah.
No, so the votes were Kyle, Nani, CT, Josh, Devin, Nicole, Wes, Natalie, Amber, Amber. Yeah. Nam, Darrell, Amber B, I didn't need to specify, Leo, Leroy, Casey, and Liv.
I don't know. Maybe I didn't interpret that right. I just didn't think that they were driving the vote. Like, I still think that that vote came together because Joseph made himself a target in front of everybody and his partner wanted him out. I really don't think that a lot of those people were truly backing Wes. Do you think Darrell put that vote in to back Wes?
Well, I
don't think so.
I think Darrell is maybe like what we talked about last week. Okay, you get Wes out. Okay, you got Ashley out. Well, then what do I do? Because I'm the bottom of this core alliance. So why does it help me to get rid of the biggest target in the house? It doesn't. If you're Darrell, it doesn't. If you're CT, it doesn't. If you're Kyle, like all of those people who have those, it doesn't. If you're Leroy, those like fringe relationships with the veterans, it doesn't behoove them to vote them out. I think it's also really telling how in Wes's ridiculous, like janitor to CEO pitch, Fessy has a confessional where he says, or he's saying to Anissa maybe in the vote, like, I'm not worried about Wes in a final. I'm worried about him socially and scheming and winning the daily and voting me in, whatever. Like, that's really telling because that is the biggest crack that Wes has, which is if he could somehow get Fessy to trust him enough where Fessy's going to execute on his plans, then Wes is in the final with Fessy. And what does Wes care if he's in the final with Fessy? Because he was basically billed as the first to go home. So I think the fact that most people are afraid of Wes in a final, the fact that Fessy is not, is a huge benefit to Wes. And I think that's ultimately why Fessy's able to say, forget it, I'll vote Kyle in.
Mm-hmm. It's a blind spot to Fessy as well.
I am hoping that we get, and maybe you guys are right, or we don't really know, like, the time, what happens between Fessy and Anissa making their decision and them going to the crater and like all of that. Like, I'm hoping, I sort of agree with Brian that there was probably more work going on with Wes than we saw, because that was like a pretty pitiful pitch where they're just laughing at him. Like,
That's true.
I have to feel like he was doing more work, because then also Devin and Kyle say, we have the house vote, we have the votes. And I'm out here like, since when? Because everyone unanimously voted besides you last week. So I'm hoping we get sort of like a Wes victory confessional being like, you have no idea what I did to make this happen. Like, we're not going to get it, but I want to understand socially how those moves were made.
And also that's because, why, like, I was in such disbelief. I'm sorry, Brian. I was just saying that's why I was in such disbelief that all of a sudden Wes went from not being able to control the votes last week to being the mastermind this week. That just does not make logical sense to me.
Yeah, I was just going to, you know, I love Big T. I think she's great. But if she really has the sway in that it's a flip an entire vote, then maybe we really are underrating her in terms of like her status in this game. If she can really flip, you know, all these people to do what she wants, then kudos to her. I just from what I've seen, I don't buy that.
I think it's a lot.
I was just saying, I don't think it was a strategic flip. I don't think it's, you know, I don't think if Big T did manage to wrangle the votes, I don't think it was a Devin, Wes, Kyle scheming type of strategic way. I think she just went to everybody in the house and was like, I'm so unhappy with my partner. You see what I'm saying? Like, there's many ways to get that done. And that's what I mean by, like, I'm not trying to call her a strategic mastermind. I'm just saying, I think she has enough social capital and she has her three UK people. Kyle even said he voted for it because of Big T too. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just think it was like we're kind of scared. We don't want to put a vet in. Joseph is making waves. And then on top of that, Joseph's partner wants him gone. So I just think it was, again, a confluence of things that worked against Joseph here. I don't think it was a strategic push.
Yeah, I think Big T's permission and request is the cherry on top. Is like, I think if Big T is saying, don't vote me in, then Kyle's in a stickier situation, Josh in a stickier situation. You know, like, I think it's like this would be a better move. It's what's going to happen anyway, because Fest, so how mad can he be? The votes are anonymous and Big T wants it. So it's like, why wouldn't I vote for Joseph, and Joseph's being an a-hole? So it's just like made easy on so many fronts.
Yep.
Why didn't Big T vote for Joseph? Are you not allowed to vote for yourself? Where's Big T? I was looking for Big T's face in the vote here.
Maybe you're not allowed to vote for yourself. And also, I was surprised that CT's allowed to vote. I saw his face pop up there. I was a little surprised that as the rogue agent, you have the power to vote, but I guess you do.
Do you think the rogue agent should be eligible to go into elimination? This is what I stuck on with the rogue agent.
No, because I think, you know, I didn't even think about the point that Mario made, but I think that's kind of smart that, like, if you're getting down to it, maybe that is now going to be a layer of the game where this person doesn't have a red skull. We go up to their partner, and if they lose, then all of a sudden they can't get a skull the next week. And then, so I like that layer of, you know, it's a positive because you can't go home, but it's a negative because you can't get the skull. So I kind of like that you're kind of float. You're rogue. You're rogue. You're just floating.
I see. I wish you could be thrown in, but I didn't think of the skull thing because I think that balances it, because I floated this theory to the person I made the bet with, and he was like, well, you shouldn't be eligible to go home on a day you couldn't compete for safety. But then I was thinking, like, okay, but he did compete for safety last week, went to elimination, paid no consequence with that, was rewarded but with safety, and he should be eligible to be thrown in. But the skull thing maybe is enough of a balance where it's like, you're sitting out one time, that I'm okay with it.
And I think that's why TJ made his grandstanding thing, like, remember, there's only 10 skull things, because these first 2 weeks, from what we've seen, people are not factoring in that that whole gold skull thing. A lot of people have been just like, throw in people we want to go home. And it's good for us as the viewers. I really like that. And it's something that, like, I think Brian was saying last week, that was missing last game, because on the last season, everybody just wanted to go in and get their skull. And so now, so far, these first two episodes, we've seen people not want to go in. So it's such a layered format this season, and that's why it's been so good so far. And I just want to see more. I really do.
So let's talk about that, because Wes Fessy keeps saying, if there's a bar in the middle or hall brawl, I'll go in. Mm-hmm. And then there's no bar, Brian. There is a ring. Has Fessy never seen the challenge, or is Fessy, you know, a not nice word?
It's a great question. I lean towards the latter, although I did see some whispering on social media that the ring wasn't there until the challenge started and it was just an open dirt. I don't know how accurate that is. I saw whispering. But even still, when you see an entire empty dirt, like, they're not going to create a puzzle out of thin air. So you would think you could do it. But I'll give him a little bit of benefit of the doubt that there was no ring sitting there.
Doesn't matter. But even Kyle said, there's nothing here. Exactly. Right. There's nothing here.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think Fessy was probably still caught up in wanting to, like, get the big move and get Wes out. And then maybe he was also still, you know, now he was super focused on getting Kyle out because he's blind. I think he kind of just lost track of what he needs to do. And maybe there's a part of him that thinks, you know what? Because it's something we kind of talked about last season of, is the upside better for me to, you know, I can win a lot more challenges. I can make a bigger name for myself. Do I want to go longer in the game? There's maybe he's thinking about that layer. And he's also thinking, I could probably get another chance at some point because I'm going to keep winning.
If Fessy loses, I think he comes back regardless. But
I would think so. But I mean, look, I think at this point now, whenever he goes in, like, this was his slam dunk. This was the same thing. This was what Jenny had last year. This was her 100% slam dunk, easy win, and she coasted to a title. And that could have been what happened with Fessy, and, you know, he blew it.
You guys are totally right now that I'm thinking about it with the timing, because my shock was that Fessy didn't. I feel like Fessy would have told Corey and Nelson he was going to do this if he was going to do it before. So I think maybe now that I'm just thinking about this, because I was like, Fessy didn't clear this with Corey. Why wouldn't he? I think Corey would be like, all right, do what you got to do, man. Like, that. Yeah, that's effed up. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't.
But then why would you save Wes with no clearance? Like, so him saying, hey, Wes, you owe me one, and then throwing in Kyle, was him thinking they were going to get something out of Wes? Because in the deliberation, when him and Anissa were talking and they're saying, oh, maybe we should approach Wesley and ask him not to come from us. And then when they said that they were thinking about revealing the information, I was like, y'all are smoking crack. Why would you do that? Why would you tell Wes, the biggest mastermind, one of the pieces of information that is like so sacred mm-hmm. that can unlock the whole game, so you can try and bargain with him for him to not come after your neck? He's Wes. He'll sell you that to your face and then come after you. Like, that just didn't make any sense. So if, like you guys are saying, he couldn't like deliver, like once they go into deliberation, then they make their choice and then go straight to the crater, and that would make more sense. He didn't clear it with Corey. He didn't really get to talk to Wes. Kyle said there was no preparation for it. So I just think we're all trying to figure out what Fessy was thinking. I think the answer was he wasn't. I think Big Brother Fessy came out here and he just made a rash move.
I think, like, look, okay, I think you're right that he's overstating the value this will mean to Wes, that Wes somehow won't immediately chop him back if given the chance, 100%. I think that Wes made deals with them or offers to him prior, and he was probably like, I'll think about it. You know, like, I think we see probably, Wes make a plea. We see mm-hmm. him say, I owe you one. So, but I also think this was more, it was sort of like, okay, I'll make a deal with Wes, and I'll, it's in front of everyone, so it's not that valuable anyway. And I think he sort of understands that. I think it's more of like a sign to everyone, if you cross me, I'm two steps ahead of you kind of thing. I think it was an overcorrection. It was the right move for maybe the wrong reasons. But I ultimately do think Fessy's going to be able to, like, explain this away to his main alliance, and he picked the exact right person to come for. If he throws Leroy and Casey in here, who both of them voted against what he asked, then I think he's not getting Cam back, he's not getting the Big Brother people back, and people are pissed. But he sort of picked someone who, like, is fringe and slippery anyway. So I think he can sort of explain this away and will ultimately come out like kind of clean. I don't know.
And he picks someone who also, you know, if you're going after a Leroy or a Corey, they probably have a lot more clout to win a challenge and get payback. Kyle, as we said, he's not. I mean, look, he showed up here. He did, in this elimination, he did very well. So it was also rude. You know, against Joseph. It was against Joseph, so I'm not going to give him too much props. But he's not the highest level of competitor that he's going to likely win a lot of challenges to kind of push back on. So he does have that going for him.
Yeah. And like you said, it's less people that would be mad at him, even though he made everybody mad at him. I just think, so you throw Kyle in, right? And then, so what is your reasoning if you're not about to tell the whole house, I saw all your votes? Again, this is just so stupid. Like, everything about this pick was just so incredibly bad, from it taking a gold skull out of his own mouth, him mm-hmm. pissing off his allies, and then pissing off his, like, enemy. It benefited his enemies. Like, I just don't, I just didn't understand this.
I mean, in terms of, what was the second point you made?
Pissed off his allies.
One before.
Oh, that now they have to reveal, like, that they know the votes.
So, right, there we go.
So yes. I think they ultimately are going to. However, I think they could get away with not doing it, and they could just be like, I know he lied. How do you know? I know that Kyle lied. Kyle, did you lie? Yeah. Like, I think you could just be like, I haven't, like, some of you lied to me, and I know it was Kyle. Like, I would just lie about it, and I think that's mm-hmm. fine. But also, like, how much is that really worth? Because, like, are they really going to win the next challenge? Like, the secret's going to be out probably next week.
But yes. But what if one of their closest allies won? Then they can, like, yes. tell them, okay, you're going to know the votes, but, and then they can kind of keep it between them two, and then, or maybe keep it within three of them. And, like, they can kind of keep it as a small circle. Now, I think it's going to get out that they know the votes. I think that's what's going
to
happen.
So you guys are both on the side that this was a bad move to throw in Kyle and not Wes.
Yeah, I think this was horrendous night for Fessy. Not only for not going in, but also blindsiding the entire house, creating an mm-hmm. enemy where you didn't really need to. I thought, as good as you could start for Fessy was as bad as I think this one.
I think he ended up getting a gold skull for a team, for someone who he can easily beat in a final, as opposed to Wes getting a clean shot at a gold skull. But it's more like, I think the plan for it to have been Wes against Joseph was a stupid plan.
So yes, yeah, I'm not saying he should have thrown in Wes.
to the point where he fails to execute a bad plan, I think that's a good decision. But he shouldn't have had the bad plan, because then he ends up blindsiding everyone. I do think he will be able to do enough damage control that it won't come back to bite him, I think. We'll see.
I think this is where having Anissa as a partner will help, because she'll be able to do the damage control, I think, better than he will.
Well, so explain it to the people who were loyal. Like, Corey's going to be like, Corey and Nelson, who voted loyal and got blindsided by Kyle, will be like, oh, yeah, damn.
Exactly.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, I don't, we'll see. I guess we'll see, because again, in Corey's confessional, directly after he had put him in there, Corey was pissed because he saw that.
But Corey doesn't know.
Uh-huh. Oh, you're saying explain the votes to Corey.
Yeah, once Fessy says, I didn't scam you, I found, again, assuming that they don't actually have time to talk between finding out who voted for who and then making the vote in the crater. Assuming that they are isolated, like you were saying, right? Like, assuming that. No, if he goes back to the house, lies to Corey, and then comes, then forget it. But assuming they had no time to talk, when Fessy comes back and says, I obviously wanted to run this by you, I couldn't, I got information that Kyle voted against us, and that's why we didn't get this how we wanted it to be, and you and Nelson voted with me, and Kyle's not with us, so I got rid of him and didn't want to give Wes a skull. I think Corey's back on board.
Yeah, and I agree with you. It was a bad plan, and that's what I'm saying. Like, all of his plans hinged on the house voting in Wes, and I still don't understand how he didn't see that tide coming against Joseph, because by the time we got to deliberations, remember, Devin and Wes were like, oh, you already know that the votes are coming your way, so this is your last ditch effort of trying to turn them. So if Fessy didn't have an inkling that Joseph could have gone in, I don't know why he was so shocked. But the moment, this is my point, the moment he found out that it was Joseph that was going in and he decided he wasn't going to throw Wes in, he should have been preparing for himself to go in. And that's the hill I am willing to die on. And that and that's even before you go into the crater and see there's nothing in the arena. He should have been, Joseph, everybody has been making fun of him. He looks like he was going to be a layup. So I think that's what pissed me off more for Fessy, was he made the wrong decision because he got it stuck in his head that it was either going to be Wes or one of Wes's allies. And that's where you were saying, Allie, like he wanted Wes or one of Wes's allies, instead of thinking option three, I should go in and get my gold skull.
So Kyle goes in. Elimination, we kind of talked about it, but called Ring of Spies, ring in the middle of a circle. You have to rip it away from your partner, or at least just get it on to your individual pole. Best two out of three. Kyle pretty much dominates the two rounds, wins them both, and then pukes up his guts because, you know, I guess he wasn't fully ready, wasn't training properly to go in, and puked up his guts. In the trailer, this seemed like a lot more scary going in, that he's puking up blood, but he's A-okay, and he was asking for the beers.
What a classic challenge moment. Like, that's old school challenge where you were hungover from the night before, you perform at a beast level, and then you just vomit. I mean, nothing much to say here, except that I did look it up, and mustard contains acetic acid, which yellow mustard, if you are getting nighttime leg cramps and you take a teaspoon or two of yellow mustard, the mustard should take effect almost immediately, allowing you to get to sleep. So look at Joseph. Lolo learned something from Joseph.
Spitting facts.
And so one of the funny things that I thought was, Fessy said, this shit looks janky as hell when they walked into the crater. And you can tell TJ got pissed off, because TJ said, hey, you gonna come down? Fessy said, this shit look janky as hell. TJ then says, hey, you only have 10 skulls to come, 10 skulls, well, I'm only giving out 10 gold skulls, so you really gonna give up a chance to not come down now? And Fessy's like, yeah, nah, I'm good. I was rolling. TJ is not a fan of Fessy. I think we can we all agree on that, because that was hilarious to me.
He's not a fan of people not stepping up. I don't know if it's necessarily Fessy specific, so I think he's just not a fan of, well, you have your opportunity, you should go get it.
That's what I like about TJ, is he'll talk down to his favorite person. Like, it doesn't matter. It's like, if you would disappoint me, you disappoint me. We talk about the partner switch. I, to Joseph's credit, gave a good fight. Don't think we'll ever see him again. We end up with Josh and Nani, world's most annoying partnership, Kyle and picking Cam. That'll be interesting. And Big T and TT. If we do not get to the rest of our segments, man, we are going to do a longer podcast on the second episode than we did on the premiere.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry, guys.
You are not sorry. It's we are having a great time. Anything else to say from the episode before we get to all the madness we have later?
No, nothing other than Kyle read the hell out of Fessy. I mean, like you said, he was like, there's nothing down here, dog. You knew this was physical and you punked out.
Yep, that was great. Josh and Nani somehow both being mutually happy that they have each other as partners is, you know, lunacy, but perfect for both of them. That's going to be a disaster. So happy to see I'm living for Big CT as a pair. That's going to be great. Good for them.
And then, but real quick, guys, Kyle taking Cam, do you think that'll benefit his game? Like, because he has a gold skull now. So what, you know what I'm saying? How does that benefit him?
It forces him into the alliance. Avoids this situation where he's the sort of pickoff choice. It's like kind of a good way to like, okay, if Fessy's turning on me, I have to get right back in with someone that he won't turn on, or vice, or someone who will help me execute against them. I think it's a good pick for the short term. I don't think Cam will stay with him for the long term.
I agree. Yeah, I think the first chance Cam gets, she's pulling the ripcord for sure. I think is that everything for this episode?
Well,
before we get to our segments?
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a quick break and we'll come back with our array of segments. All right. Where do we want to start? Social media, drinking game.
Queen Arissa Cox, if you don't mind, Brian.
Please do. Please do.
I open up my Twitter and Akiva Whitaker has sent me a notification that he's being followed by Arissa. And I'm out here like, and not that she needs an introduction, but the host of Big Brother Canada and executive producer of Big Brother Canada. And I'm like, where you been? Arissa and I have been talking for forever. Then I see 20 notifications and I'm no one. I'm like, that's a bit above average for the middle of the day. And I see that Arissa Cox has not only said that she's listening to our podcast, gave it the nicest plug I've ever seen. She says, shout out to @TJLavin in max boss mode, which by the way means that even if TJ Lavin filters only by verified accounts that he's mentioned in, then he saw this. In max boss mode, the players bringing the rain, and @LashTweets and @CohenBryan_ for giving me all the intel and fire emoji takes I could ever need. Seriously, listen to it. Their podcast rules, with a link, with the full photo. I was dead. If she had just said, great pod, listen to it, it would have been enough. If she had said nothing and just was listening to it and sending us vibes, that would have been enough. But I'm dead. Like, I don't think we can continue. Honestly, we're here. We're doing it. We did continue somehow, but I don't know how.
It was an epic moment, epic plug. Great day. It was a great day.
That's amazing. I'm happy for you guys.
Sam Moore texted me because I joked, like, because we made it to number 35 on iTunes, to which I say, don't act so surprised, everyone. Rob's like, congratulate. I'm like, obviously we made it to 35. No.
The ragtag group of drunk ants. Here we are.
But it's like, I said to Sam when we made it to 35, like, the best pitch is don't listen to us. And then he texts, he was like, I don't know about that. And then when Arissa tweeted this, he texts like, okay, you might be onto something. You tell people not to listen and Arissa Cox tweets out your podcast. Brilliant. So thank you, Arissa. If you have made it an hour and a half into this, thank you so much for your support.
Yes.
It really means more than anything.
Exactly.
That's so awesome.
All right. Did we have anything else? I think no. We have a lot else, but
well, let's start with the must lose draft. Shout out to our to be named cast of characters.
They've named themselves, Brian. You're not reading the.
No, I select what's their name.
So, and I want to make a clarification because you also just said something. We are not drunk ants. We are not drunk ants.
Did we sober up?
The drunk ant thing started. For any new listeners, was that we called ourselves the drunk aunt of the RHAP network. At the family reunion of the RHAP podcast, we're the ones you look at. The Challenger Hop Up is like, did we still invite her to this? Oh my God, she's embarrassing us. She's so loud. Like that, it's not me. It's not you, Brian. It's in the family of RHAP. But I have enjoyed how it sort of emerged. I just don't want to get a reputation for being a drunk. Like, that's my problem. I'm not trying to self-brand as that.
Fair enough. So for the Must Lose this week,
they call themselves the DDs, the designated drivers, which we'll go with. So the commissioners of this are the DDs.
Sounds good. So for this week, Kyle obviously won elimination, so we got a minus one. No confessional for Amber B, so we got plus one. No confessional for Amber M, she got plus one. Joseph was eliminated, and Nicole had no confessional. So as of now, through 2 weeks, Allie, you're at 3 points. Matt is at two. Not me, Brian, is at three. And I'm on one. I'm on the board.
So I'm riding shotgun with Matt, Kate, and Stuart. And you are holding us back. You're the sandbag, to use Mari's terminology.
Right. Terminology.
It's been a while.
So we got the drinking game as well this week. The only one to hit was your rule from last week, Allie. People in bed, three of them. So three drinks for this week.
Did he say who was a digital communication manager? Blah. All these, I can't keep track of the.
I know. I need titles. I need a flow chart of all of our positions.
Kyle Picard. Who'd he clock in bed?
He did not give me specifications. He
Kyle,
just gave me the number.
Sleeping on the job. Ironic.
Yeah. I think Lolo. They got a shot of Lolo
So Mar, do you have a rule to add to our
oh my god
game?
Why did I think of this? Oh my god, I just thought of that. Oh god, okay
we can come back. You want us to think about it, if you want to think about it, we can do ours.
Yeah, yes. Allie, what do you got?
So I like Mari didn't have anything jump out to me, so I texted the guy I have the bet with. But he didn't answer in the 30 seconds that I needed him to, so I thought of my own, and then in the interim, he has texted a very funny one. So I'll float two to you. We'll go with mine, but maybe, Mari, if you want to steal this one, you're welcome to, but it might be too mean. We'll see. So mine is, last season, or a couple seasons ago, we did one that was like, anytime anyone's like, ugh, or you like, as a viewer, you're like, I hate this, this is terrible, I feel sad. We got some flack for that, understandably. Again, it wasn't intended to be like, you know, that sort of thing. But how about to celebrate how good the season is? Anytime you find yourself saying, ooh, this is so good, take a drink.
I like it. Mm-hmm. I like it.
The other one was a very negative. Drink whenever someone says Josh is good for some reason.
Jesus.
I might use that one later.
What about this Josh saying in himself count or no?
Anytime anyone says Josh is good for some reason.
So mine's a simple one, but a goodie. Anytime anything blurred out. Blurred bodies.
Okay, so I got one. Take a shot or a drink or whatever.
Whoa, upgrade.
Sorry, not a shot. Sorry, my bad. Take a drink every time there's inappropriate clothing in the club scene. So
yes,
like Tori's sweatpants, like I think Lolo's jacket, hoodie cover with the beanie combo, anything like that. I want to take drinks for that.
That's perfect. That's a good one.
Very good.
Okay, so digital communications manager Megan Elizabeth sent us some tweets. Leroy said, I took swimming lessons before this season and sent a video of him swimming. Shout out to Scuba Nelly. I know they were calling him Scuba Nelly these days, but... and then Cam responded, you couldn't wait to post this to let them know, huh? Laugh, cry emoji. I love them.
Right. We saw that because as soon as Leroy jumped in the water, we were like, can he swim yet? So happy for Leroy. So happy.
Ashley said, haha, laugh, cry emoji. He's been saving it for months, Cam. I bet you've seen it 3 or 4 times already. Laugh, cry emoji, red heart emoji, red heart emoji. Cam said, he sent this to me ASAP after he got done swimming. Laugh, cry emoji. That's so cute. Cam said, I def wanted to keep Josh as a partner, heart emoji. We def both believed each other, and that's all I needed. Do we, like, did she, I feel like it's sort of a net neutral from Josh to
Carl. Right.
What do you guys think?
Yep, and yeah, I meant to ask you that, you guys, that as well. I agree. I don't, I mean, they both have strengths, they both have weaknesses, so I thought it was, like, exactly even.
Yeah, I think it's probably a downgrade only because you're losing the big brother connection with Josh, which I guess is like a good thing he brings. But as a competitive partner, I'd probably rather Kyle. But for the connection piece, which I don't think Cam really needs, so I guess it's probably neutral, but I guess I'd rather Josh.
Yeah, and they're still friends no matter what, even though they're not partners, so... Yeah, I don't think it really affects Cam. That's why that's why I was wondering how you think it affected Kyle, because I don't think it affected Cam that much.
This will end on a tweet from Marie. She slipped in here somehow. Shout out to Marie. Great cameo from Marie. Never forget. Fessy is hot. Don't get me wrong. But these girls act like they've never seen a guy over 6'5 on the show before. Oh, wait. The shade of it all. Okay, we have one more thing to plug, Brian, right?
Yeah, shout out to KOL8996 on Twitter. He came up. If you're looking for any more type of challenge games to play, other than, of course, a very fun drinking game, if you go to moremadprops.com, he has any type of, like, you know, sometimes for The Bachelor, they'll come up with these questionnaires before episodes, or you can do that type of thing. He comes up with a lot of different games and way to kind of play along with the show. So if you go there, he has a great little setup. You can check it out.
Mari, this was so fun to have you here.
Yeah. Oh my God, guys. Thank you for having me here. This is a dream come true. When I am not on, I will be bugging you in your DMs with annoying tweets from the season, but this was amazing. I mean, this episode was so good. This season has been so good so far. I want to see what format changes they make in the middle of the season that either frustrates us or makes more sense. But thank you so much for having me on. And everybody, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can follow me at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two. And unlike Allie, you can definitely at me.
Be careful what you wish for, Mari. No, but
I say it on every podcast. You can at me.
Oh, I forgot. Five-star reviews. We got 5-star reviews this week, guys. And honestly, reading them, Brian, I don't know if you had a chance to peep them, but it's like, you know, we're back. It's the premiere. I ate a latke, so I was nervous. Also, I said that to Arissa. I was like, if I had known you were listening, I would not have been munching during the podcast. I got to raise the quality now. It really meant the world to us, to me, like to come back and see you guys still here, still listening, like Mari did back in the day, posting a 5-star review. We really appreciate it. So thank you very much thank you very much to Unsuccess Story, Arrow Mano. Oh, A.H. Romano, LOL, 17. Ari Figaro, Genevieve _ S, Matt Scott GW, Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, 12, R. Freeman, 87, and Andrea Raff, XO. We really, really appreciate it. Gave us such a strong start. Please continue. If you like it, if you don't, walk away.
And you can leave more 5-star reviews at robiswebsite.com/challenge. You can subscribe there too. We would appreciate it. You can follow me on Twitter at Cohen with a C, Ryan _. You can follow you
at Lash
Alex. We'll be back next week for episode 3. Mari, thank you so much again. This was a lot of fun. Until
thank
then,
you.
Have a good one.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They're also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.